The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
And it is a joy for me to be here, and I feel humbled to have been asked to have this opportunity to come and share this special day with you. This is indeed a special day. It's a time of rejoicing for God's kingdom and for His people. And as we have already recognized that there have been so many people who have contributed to the fulfillment and the thing for which we celebrate this day. Their time, their talent, and all of those for the purpose of dedicating these things to the Lord. If you have a Bible this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to Genesis, the 28th chapter. And in Genesis, the 28th chapter, in verse 13 and following, we have the account of one of the first dedication services recorded in God's Word. And so in Genesis, the 28th chapter, you follow along as we read. And it says, "And behold, the Lord God stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to thee I will give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And verse 15 says, "Behold, I am with you wherever you go, and will keep you in all the places wherever you go, and will bring you again unto this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of." And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid, and he said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and he set it for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, and I go and I will, and he will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you shall give me, I will surely give unto you a tenth." I wonder if you could sort of put that picture in your mind this morning. As you sit in this really beautiful building that has taken years to get to the place that it is now. If you could think for just a moment, as we as young people years ago would read in God's Word about what we call Jacob's ladder, and we sang those songs about the encounter that Jacob had that night in a dream. And we could think in our mind that here is Jacob, who has received his birthright from his father in a deceptive way. And now his brother is about to take his life. He has sworn that when the grief of my father's over, I'm going to get that boy. And so Jacob takes off. He gets to a place in the land of Israel. The sun is going down, and he does what we as human beings do. Exhausted, he goes to sleep. But that night, he has an encounter with God, the creator of the universe. An encounter that's recorded in his word. And when that account is over, Jacob takes the stone that he had slept on, and he sets it up for a pillar. It's become from a pillow to a pillar. And he takes some oil and he pours on that stone in an act of saying, I'm going to set this apart. This is going to be different and unusual. Something has taken place in this place. It was just a place that an individual had an encounter, that an individual under the direction of God said, this is going to be a special place. And so there he was with God's presence. He dedicated that place. And I say to you this morning, as you gathered here to do the same, that there were some truths for which are eternal that are found in this first dedication. And the first one is that Jacob dedicated that place to the personal purpose that God had for him. And I say to us who have gathered in this building, and those of us who would have desired to be here but could not for reasons, that this building forever be the place dedicated, set aside, to proclaim that God has a personal purpose for our lives. Listen in verse 13 to what God spoke that day to Jacob. He said, and behold, the Lord God stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon you lie, I will give it to you and your seed, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and the south, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. My goodness. Jacob was given a large purpose. While he was just running from his brother, saving his life, trying to find a wife that his mother had told him to, and all of a sudden thrust upon him was an encounter that he realized he had a big purpose. And so it is that God would say to me and to you and to every individual, this place where you are, that we are, of all places that we focus in upon this life journey of ours, this place could be the proclamation place where individuals know that God has a purpose for us, for me, for you. Not just for preachers, not just for singers, not just for missionaries, but for all of us. Jacob was not a prophet or a preacher or a priest. God has a purpose. And so it is that, you know, we could boil down that big job that Jacob received for the Lord into one thing that all of us can hang on to. And in you, Jacob, and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so if I want to take off all the little side tracks of my life and my work and can boil it down to a purpose that God has for me and God has for you, and that is that we are to be a blessing to others. And if you can summarize the contents of the actions and God's use in your life and to say and to evaluate, is my life a blessing? Listen, you can come to the place in this world in which we live, and we can find out from magazines and from the internet nowadays and from advertisements and books, we can learn about career plans. And listen, from the learning about career plans, we can go to certain schools and we can find ourselves being equipped to fulfill those career plans. But I say to you that in this place, in the house of God, you can find that God has a purpose for your life. And for my life. When I was just a young boy growing up, searching and seeking for the next stage of my life, it was at my church where they articulated this in this way: God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And some of those individuals that were contemporaries of my youth, they went off to be engineers. They went off to be school teachers. They went off to be construction workers. But in the house of God, by the word of God, from the teachers of God, they realized that God had a plan for their life. They were to be a blessing to others. If you're here and you have a career, when you and I accept the truth that it is God that has gifted you and given us a purpose to work through that which God has gifted us to be a blessing, then our work will become our purpose for life. If you've ever seen that movie entitled Chariots of Fire about those individuals who were fast runners for the United Kingdom, Eric Little was one of those individuals. Eric had come from a Christian home. His mother and father, they were missionaries in the foreign countries, and their sisters and all of their family had committed their life. He came from that. And I remember one scene in that movie. Maybe you've seen that movie. If you haven't ever seen that movie, it would be worth your looking at. Eric's sister is trying to get him to put aside all these races and attempts to win a gold medal at the Olympics for his country, and saying, listen, the most important thing is for you to quit this and get on the mission field with your family. And Eric Little stated it this way: God made me fast, and when I run, I feel His blessings. What he was saying is, I'm not neglecting the God who created me. I am being a blessing from Him with the gift that He has given me. And so it is, may in the days that are ahead you never forget that once a dedication was made when God gave an individual a purpose for his life. And the second truth that is here on this special day, we should never forget as we dedicate this, that this building be the place of the personal presence of God. You see, Jacob, when he encountered God, it's recorded in that 16th verse that Jacob awoke out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. Listen, may this be the place above all places where men and women and boys and girls can encounter the presence of God. Listen, I know all of us can say, listen, God is everywhere and we can sense His presence everywhere. And may I say to you, that is of a truth discussed here, but may we make sure that this place, of all places in the world where men and women and boys and girls happen to appear, that this be the place where the presence of God shines. You know, if you have your Bible, you will see that from this encounter, Jacob left. He was gone a long time from this place. And then in chapter 35, it's recorded that he returned to this place. He returned back. Many years had gone by. And let me read you verse 1 through 3. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. And let us rise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me wherever I went. Listen, Jacob came back to Bethel. Bethel meant the house of God. And what did he do? He said, look to all those that were with him. Put away all these things that are between you and God. These things that you might worship more than you worship God. And then he said, be clean. It may be here that what we say, that we must put away unconfessed sin. We must put away selfishness and greed. You see, if we want this place to be a place where the presence of God is sensed, we must, in the regular terms that we live, we can check our ego at the door. We can come to the place where we make sure that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. And then God's presence will be in this place. Psalm 24 in verse 3 asks this question, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer comes back, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. In Isaiah the 6th chapter, it said that he went in to the temple of the Lord. And when he got in there, he said, after sensing the Lord high and lifted up, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And in the sense of purifying and cleansing himself, he felt the presence of the Lord. There's a song that has these words. It says, in and out of situations, this tug of war in me, and all day long I've struggled for the answers that I need.
In and out of situations, that tug of war in me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. And then I come into his presence, and all my questions become clear. And in that very moment, no doubts can interfere. In the presence of Jehovah, Lord Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles
this place that we dedicate to the Lord this day. May the proclamation ever be that God has a purpose for us to be a blessing. And may we make sure by coming into this presence with a pure and clean heart that men and women and boys and girls can encounter the presence of the Lord in this place. Not only was that day a dedication to a place that God has a special purpose and a special presence, but that place was a place of personal surrender to God. May this building be forever a place of personal surrender to the Lord. Listen. It says that Jacob rose up early in the morning, took a stone, and he had put for his pillow, and he set it for a pillar, and poured oil upon it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And then Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in his way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give unto thee. Listen for a moment to what Jacob encountered. Jacob encountered a God who said, look, I'm going to give you the land that you were sleeping on. But I want you to look up in the east and the west and the north and south. I'm going to give you all of that land. And then Jacob took a stone that he had slept on. He put it up and he anointed it. This is what he said. This stone and this place is now called Bethel. This is God's house. So look, Jacob was given, and then Jacob gave. He first of all set this apart. This is God's house. I'm dedicating it to him. He gave it to me. I'm giving it to him. You see, I'm guilty oftentimes of saying, that's my church. That's where I go. That's my church where I painted that room. That's my church where I've vacuumed those floors. That's my church where I've invited people to come. But now Jacob from the very beginning said, I acknowledge, Lord, that all things are yours. And you've given me this. I've heard it in such a profound way. But now, Lord, I give it to you. This place can be a place of surrender. First of all, he gave this place to the Lord. That's what we're doing. It's not mine. It's not yours if you give it to him. You see? You can claim ownership if you want to, but what the Lord wants is this place to be a place of surrender. And then, you know, secondly, he gave that day. He gave his life. He gave his days. Some people would say, well, now Jacob, he's making a deal with the Lord. He's saying, now Lord, you're going to go with me here, and when you guide me in all these ways, and then when I get back, you're going to surely be my God. Now listen, God had already said to him, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to go with you. You know, it's kind of like somebody comes in here and they say, now listen, Eddie, I'm going to give you $1,000 today, and you don't have to do this and this and this. You can spend it wherever you want to. And I'm saying, now I've heard you, Lord. Now listen, Johnny, now let me go over this again. Let me just make sure that I've really heard what you said. You're going to give me this $1,000 and you're not going to tell me how to spend it, and I can do with it whatever I want to. And if I have heard right, then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you with me wherever I go. And so you see, Jacob said, Lord, I surrender my tomorrow to your presence. I surrender my next week to your presence. I surrender wherever I go. I am aware of your presence with me. I surrender to that. So he surrendered the place to God. He surrendered his days to God. And he surrendered his material wealth to God. And he said, Lord, I'm going to give you a tenth of all that I give you. And if you look there most closely, you'll see that he didn't ask for all the things. He said, if you just give me raiment, clothes to wear, and if you just give me some food to eat and go with me, it's all I need. See? It was a place of surrender. He gave his place, he gave his resources, and he gave himself. W.A. Criswell was one of the most well-known, used men of God that Southern Baptists had. It is told that when he pastored that first church of significance in Chickasha, Oklahoma, he went to visit some of the prominent people on the roll of that church. One of them was a judge. And he went to visit the judge, and the judge had him in his office, and they sat there for a few minutes. And the story was that the judge opened the desk that he had, and he pulled out his checkbook and wrote a check to the church, and he slid the check across that desk to W.A. Criswell, who took the check and then politely thanked him and slid the check back to the judge and said, "Judge, let me say to you that the Lord does not need your money. What he needs is you. What he needs is you." It became a surrender time for the judge. I remember when I was just a young boy, my parents didn't go to church. My daddy had died. I didn't have much of a godly background in my home. But I lived in the back door of a big church, and one day a girl invited me to go to Sunday school when I was about 8 years of age. And so I started going to Sunday school. When Sunday school was over, I'd jump over the fence of the church into my backyard and go home. But one day I went to Sunday school, and they didn't tell me that they were having a revival, and all we were going to do was get records in Sunday school, and we were all going to go into the church for a service. So I went into the church, you know, because I was in line with the Sunday school class. I was sitting back over on this section about five rows back. And that day the preacher didn't have any screens or TVs. And he had a big chalkboard, though, a huge thing. And he drew a circle in that chalkboard. And he talked about that inside that circle was heaven. And he talked about all the things that God had provided in heaven. And then in one side of that big circle, he drew a keyhole. And right here on the side, he drew a big key. And he wrote inside of that key, J-E-S-U-S. He wrote the word Jesus in there. And you know what? He told me that Jesus loved me, and that he died for my sins, and that I needed Jesus to find forgiveness of my sins, and that Jesus was the key to heaven. They gave an invitation that day, and I left that service, and all week this is what I realized. I did not have the key to heaven. I did not have Jesus. You know, I've thought about that for a long time. I thought about if I grew up in a Christian home, if I had a mother and a father who attended worship and who knew the Lord, I could have gone home and they would have probably been in that service, and they would have probably said, "Eddie, what do you think about that?" And they may have questioned me. And sometime during that week, I may have embraced faith in Jesus. But I didn't have that. But I knew one thing. All week long, I dealt with the fact that I did not have Jesus. You know, I've learned later what you call that. You call that conviction. But I knew this. I knew that I could come to the house of God where Jesus was proclaimed, and there would be a surrender time when in the culture that I lived in, I could walk down an aisle and I could publicly commit my life now and forever into the care of Jesus. And that is what I did. This place for me became a place of surrender. And over again, over those times of my life, I've come into a place like this, where the presence of the Lord was, and where the Holy Spirit would convict, and I would come to a place of surrender. May it be that this place ever be a place where the presence of the Lord can convict those of us who need Him to find a place of surrender. I close with one day I gave an invitation in a church where I pastored, and a man of about 50 years of age who had been in our church for a few years walked down the aisle, knelt here at the front of the altar and began sobbing and crying almost uncontrollably. I knelt by him to try to see if I could help him and understand what his needs were. Finally, I was able to articulate that he wanted to give his days and his career to the Lord the best I could understand. And so I asked the church just to pray for him. Went home, and later that afternoon, when his emotions settled, I called him on the phone. He said, well, you know, Eddie, I have this business. And Bonnie, who is in our church, you know, who was crippled with polio when she was a little girl and has never been able to walk without crutches. You know, Bonnie's always in our church. She has such a wonderful personality. And I thought, boy, Bonnie can be useful in my business. She can call on the phone and she can set up appointments for me. And people won't tell Bonnie no. So she said, you know, I went over to Bonnie's house to give her an opportunity to join our business. And you know, when I left that house, God began to convict me. I felt so ashamed of myself. I said, here I am with personality, with all kinds of health, and I'm just after me and want me to succeed. And he said, I couldn't wait till I had the opportunity in his culture to come to the house of the Lord and to a place of surrender. Now, you know, Bonnie struggled with me as her pastor. She would say, you know, Brother, I want to do so much for the Lord, but my handicap, I can't go out and visit. She said, I'll go to a place that you give me a name. It's an apartment on the second floor, and I had to come back and throw the card on your desk. And she said, I wished I could teach Sunday school class, but I can't walk and do the things that a Sunday school teacher needs to do. And she would always struggle with that. So I called Bonnie on the phone. I said, Bonnie, did Jack come to your house? Oh, yeah. I said, what did you say to Jack? Well, I said, I just mainly listened to Jack. I said, I served him coffee and cake. You see, Bonnie was just being a blessing. She didn't say, Jack, you are a stinking, low-down individual trying to come over here and use me on your business, and you call yourself a child of God. She was just being a godly individual. And God used her for a purpose for which she wanted and had surrendered with her handicap to a man who once again said, this house is a place of surrender. And so it is today. May we all dedicate this building for a lot of things, but above all, as a place where we know God has a purpose for us, His presence can be felt, and we can come to a time of surrender. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And your pastor's going to stand here, and it may be that God may be saying to you, there's some areas of my life. You may want to come to this altar and pray. You may want to have him pray with you. It may be that you need to unite with this church. It may be that you need to put your life here and begin to let God use you for his purpose to be a blessing. Let's pray, shall we, Father? Thank you today for loving us. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to allow your purpose and presence to be in our midst, that we may surrender our days to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana.
For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.